BGMC. The biblical truth lives here.
We are living in a time like no other in history. But fortunately for us, God wrote it down, all in His prophecies, what would happen next. Find out what prophecies came true this week, ripped straight from the headlines. Verily I say unto you, the only way to rightly understand prophecy is from a messianic Hebrew roots perspective. For without the roots, the tree is dead. Stay tuned for the Prophecy News headline show, The Remnant's Call.
Welcome to The Remnant's Call, The Sledgehammer Show, where prophecy, politics, the religion, the straight truth come through to your device that you're watching us on or listening to us on. Tonight's show is Sledgehammer Show number 436. It is entitled, The Door is About to Shut. Let me introduce myself to you. I'm Rav Hanun Ben Moshe from Beth Goyim Messianic Congregation, a place where Jew and Gentile worship Yeshua the Messiah as one people following the Word of God from Genesis through to the Book of Revelation. Come on down to 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. That's 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. Come out and be with us on Shabbat. That's Saturday at 11 a.m. for worship, the news, prophecy news, and the Word of God from a Hebrew roots, a biblical perspective. Come on down to 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. That's 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. If you like or hate the Sledgehammer Show, send us an email to info@thesledgehammershow.com. That's info@thesledgehammershow.com. You can see our show on many different platforms. Subscribe to our page on Rumble. Subscribe to our page on YouTube. Rumble is rumble.com/BGMCTV. YouTube.com/BGMCTV. And then you see the other, like Brighteon and Vimeo. Subscribe to our pages. Give us a thumbs up. Like us. Hate us. Let us know what you think of this show. And if you wouldn't mind sending a donation to keep the show on the air, because internet costs money and equipment costs money, so send a tax-deductible donation to Beth Goyim at 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. That's 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. Come on down and be with us. You don't have to be Jewish to be with us. You just have to be seeking the truth. It could be black or white, short or tall, fat or skinny, rich or poor, Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter. We worship together as one people. And tonight I'm joined on the show with none other than our good friend, Mr. Ben Jimenez III. Okay, as we always start off our show after our introduction there. In the scriptures, we have signs that we are to wear, such as men are supposed to wear the CTO. That's the strings you see hanging down from the man. Okay, a woman is not to wear the CTO. That is an abomination. We're to mark our homes with a sign called a mezuzah. Or if you have your own home, you could even write the commandment on your doorframe. Okay? You can mark your home with a mezuzah or the Ten Commandments or stuff like that. And it says in Devarim, in Deuteronomy 6, verse 7 through 9, and you are to teach them carefully to your children. You are to talk about them when you sit at home, when you're traveling on the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them on your hand as a sign. Put them at the front of a headband around your forehead and write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. Okay, so we're talking about the commandments, but what we're looking at here is things that are a sign for those of us who believe. You might notice a Jewish person or person that really follows the Lord in spirit and truth, that they're grafted in, they might have a star on Mogen David on a necklace. If they're a Gentile, righteous Gentile, which should be following the if it's a man, should be following the Torah, they would be wearing the tzitzit. A Gentile would male would have a beard. So we're talking about these signs and wonders that we're to have. Okay, and the reason we're talking about that is in our first story is a cross monument removed by California town after 50 years, five decades. They hate it. They hate what it represents. Well, what we need to look at here, Ben, in this story, is the cross represents to those of us who follow Messiah that he paid his life on this cross. And it comes from the prophecy where Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, and you had to look at the snake to be healed. Okay, so Yeshua was on the cross. That's Messiah's real Hebrew name. Don't call him Jesus because that's not his name. But what I'm looking at in this story about the California town removing the cross after 50 years, after five decades, was 50 years ago, people respected the cross. 50 years ago, families were more intact. 50 years ago, we didn't, you know, we weren't talking about homosexuals except for Liberace. Okay? And we had more of a reverence for God. And we don't now. So because the cross is a symbol that represents Messiah to us, okay, we need to look at that to fully understand that importance of what the cross means to us. Okay, so 50 years ago, when the cross was there, Ben, when the cross was there, it meant something. What do you think, you know, in these 50 years, you know, are we not as reverent to the Word of God? Are we not as reverent to God anymore? How can, you know, we've talked about the commandments being replaced, you know, taken down. What's your sense of this, of the cross being removed, Ben?
All this that's happening with the Ten Commandments that were taken down from in front of the courthouse, to the removal of this cross, to the prohibition of praying in public, to me it's all the first stepping stones to the great falling away. The people rejecting the message of salvation anymore, because it's amazing that in a country that was considered to be one nation under God, we have now become one nation without God. The people who don't believe in God try so hard to disprove the fact that he exists and that he died to carve a path back to the Father, because Yeshua said, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. You know, we have to go through him to get to the Father. He made that way for us, and the darkness doesn't like that, because you know, we have a means of escaping eternal damnation by, you know, accepting Yeshua as our Savior and our Messiah and as our kingly priest, you know, and we can return back to the Father and have that relationship that he so instituted back in the garden with Adam and Chava until they screwed it up. But they don't want that message to be delivered or portrayed, because then everything that they're fighting to disprove crumbles before them.
Yeah, it does crumble before them. But, you know, you mentioned, you know, something a moment ago. And here in the next part of the story, the monument came under scrutiny in 2015 when the East Bay atheists began to challenge the cross's constitutionality. You know, what is interesting about this, and we need to look at that and really explore it for a moment, that the atheists want the cross taken down. Well, if you don't believe in God and you don't believe in Messiah Yeshua, what does the cross matter to you anyway? Because you don't believe in the cross, it's just, you know, metal or sticks or whatever to you. So if, you know, the court system should pay no attention to the atheist, okay? Well, it's a symbol or this or that. Well, you don't believe in the symbol, so it's just, you know, an X to you, a T, you know, the letter T to you. Okay, so should we get rid of the alphabet and all the letter T's in the alphabet because some atheist, some moron, doesn't like it? You know, but what it really comes down to, let me bring up the other part of the story, is it stood there for 50 years. It's been up there for 50 years. In the 1970, the Lions Club, you know, bought the land and they made it a park and they put it up. But what we need to focus on here is, well, one, God is allowing this. Okay, so God is allowing this to happen. And he allows it to happen because we've removed God from our society. 50 years ago, Ben, you know, we had a much more reverent society. And now we don't have a reverent society. We have an irreverent society. So anything that references God or these signs or these symbols, evil is going to want to remove those symbols, even though, you know, they say, well, I don't believe in Jesus, I don't believe in the Messiah. Okay, well then why does that stick? Does a tree bother you? What do you think, Ben? Should we get rid of all trees because there might be a cross on a tree? Should we get rid of all, you know, Burger Kings because the Whopper might offend somebody?
Well, that's a valid talking point right there. It just amazes me how the people who don't believe in God or actually reject, I wouldn't say they don't believe in God, because everybody believes in God at one point or another in their lives. When they get to that one critical moment that everything just seems so dismal, they cry out to God, you know, and they'll be like, if there is a God out there, you know, so it's always in the back of their mind. I believe that the one thing that I do know for sure is that they reject the fact that God exists. I think that would be a better classification of an atheist, a person who rejects the fact that God does exist, because they live their lives trying to disprove the fact that, you know, that there is a God, that there is a supreme being, that there is a higher power. You know, some atheists will say, you know, there's a power in the universe that governs everything, but they refuse to acknowledge it as God, you know. And you know, that's You know, you can reject God all you want, but here's the thing: go through life rejecting Him, but don't push your ideology on other people who don't want to accept it. If you don't want to accept the fact that I believe in Messiah, and that I chose Messiah as my Savior, and that I chose to follow my Messiah, and to follow His word and His Father's word, you know, then that's my choice. That's the beauty of being a human being. That's the beauty, and getting back to the first part of this, you know, webcast. That's the beauty of living here in America. We have the freedom. Okay, our forefathers fought for that freedom for us to either accept or reject. You know, you can live in America and not want to believe in God, and that's fine. You know, if you die like that, you're going to regret, but it's going to be too late. But it's funny how the living are the ones that try to reject the fact that God lives, and also want to initiate or make abortion law. They want to force abortion on everybody. Why? I mean, the unborn hasn't done anything to you. If you didn't want to get pregnant, I'm sorry, then you shouldn't have had sex. You shouldn't have got married, because that is the nature of all creatures, male and female. Okay? We don't have 50 million genders in the animal kingdom, you know, like we've created in the human construct. We only have a male and a female, and the male mates with the female, and the female has the kid, the calf, the colt, you know, the baby elephant. I don't know what they call it, but you get what I'm saying.
Elefante. You
know, it's elefantito.
Fausto elefant.
So it's always the living that's trying to rewrite the rules of the living, you know, to conform to an ideology that doesn't stick or doesn't conform to everybody's belief. Let's let those who believe, and those who don't want to believe, hey, that's your choice. You know, we bring you the message, you reject it, that's fine. I wipe my hands clean, like Pilate said. You know, I wash my hands of this. You know, I take my sandals at, you know, as a testimony against you. But, you know, don't force your wicked ideology on the rest of the world and then call it normal, because, you know, you fail to see the evidence that my God exists. You know, I look all around and I see that my God exists. I see that my God created all this. This couldn't have happened from nothing. You know, all this was planned and executed by a one intelligent, everlasting, all-knowing, all-present, loving God.
Amen. All right, let's move on to our next topic for this show. We're trying to get through a couple of topics, because we do this show because we think it's vitally important that everybody should understand the news, because Messiah Yeshua said you should know the times that you're living in. And if you don't know the times that you're living in, if you just watch Telemundo or you know, the regular news, you're not getting the whole story. So this is a really big topic. The mark of the beast, okay? It forces everyone, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, preventing anyone from buying or selling unless he has the mark that is the name of the beast or the number of its name. Okay, so we need to really get a grip on this one, because this is really large. Okay? Because this, what's going on in the world, okay, in Europe, in the European Union, and also in Australia. Look at this. Australian Christians warned censorship coming with new disinformation bill. Okay. Australia has joined the list of nations around the globe where people soon will be banned from expressing their opinion on a long list of issues, all coming under the mantle of the misinformation or disinformation. The plan, for example, banned criticism of LGBT ideology, including transgender procedures that mutilate a child's body. Also, any election officials would have new protections against complaints or criticism. Decision Magazine explains comments are being taken until August 2020 on the Combating Misinformation and Disinformation Plan, Bill 2023. So this is important because you're not going to be able to log on to the internet. Listen carefully. You're not going to be able to log on to the internet without an ID. An ID which will be a retina scan or a thumbprint. You're going to need this ID to get on the net. So once you're on the net, if you express dangerous, you know, Christian ideology, okay, if you want to express an alternate view of the woke culture on sexuality, if you want to speak up against abortion, you're not going to be able to do that any longer. And this has begun as of August 1st, 2023 in the European Union and in Australia. Okay. Now it goes without saying that as Christians, we don't hate those with alternate views, but we believe in disagreeing and loving can coexist. In fact, at times, it's loving to disagree. However, we have seen time and time again, there are strong elements in our culture who labor our disagreements or us pointing out the issue we have with gender theory or abortion as hate or harmful. Okay, so what's going to happen, everybody, is you're not going to be able to get on to the internet. You're not going to be able to get on to voice your opinion on social media, which, you know, this is good or bad, but, you know, it's very important for us to understand that we're being discriminated against because of our views on God, on homosexuality, on child mutilation, you know, having a girl who's, you know, 10 years old or 15 years old to mutilate her body by removing her breasts or removing her ovaries or whatever, that is horrendous. But what's going on here is you're not going to be able to post any news articles to Facebook. You're not going to be able to post any news articles to Twitter or Gab or
Social media,
yeah, that's it, that you use. Okay, so this is something that we really need to talk about. What's your feeling on this, Ben?
Well, I've been saying it for quite a while now. Actually, you know, I've been saying it since before we left Jersey, that, you know, the things that they're doing in China were and are the testing ground for the rest of the world. You know, China is big on technology, but they use their technology to spy on their citizens, you know, and the espionage that goes on in China on their citizens is, I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, if you say something wrong about the president, if you say something wrong about the government, if you speak against the ideologies that they have, they'll shut you down. You know, I believe it's that every day they have to check in to this application to make sure that they're able to leave their homes, get on public transportation, buy food, pay their bills, because if they have any strikes against them, then they start losing points for, I guess, I think it's for the month. They have a certain amount of points per month, and the more good you do, the more points you get. But that's coming here, and I'm not surprised that Australia is beginning to use this system.
Social credit score.
It's right, the social credit score. With this system that they're implementing, you know, the government's reach into your private lives is they're going to be able to do whatever they want with you. You know, they'll shut your TVs off. This is why they want everything to be smart TVs, smart refrigerators, smart stoves, smart appliances. Your lights are smart. They want the smart cars, because one wrong thing that you do, they can shut you completely down. You know, and all it is at a push of a button. One key on the keyboard and they shut you down. There's nothing that you can do once they do that. You know, the movie 1984, whoever's seen it, remember that everything they did, they were being watched, even in their own homes. You know, there was an episode where he had to hide from the camera in his home so that he could write, you know, his feelings down in a book. You know, this is where we're heading. You know, and if we're not careful and if we don't do anything about this, you know, we're going to be handing over all of our freedoms, you know, so you won't be able to like Rav said earlier, you won't be able to log on to your computer because they shut you down. Then you're going to have to wait or do so many things to try to get your social credit score back up, you know. And once it's down, everybody's going to know, hey, you know, you're not allowed to buy anything, you know, and that's where Revelation 13 comes in and says that, you know, without this mark, you won't be able to buy or sell, you know, and those who have the mark won't buy or sell for you because they're going to put themselves at risk, and nobody's going to put themselves at risk when that time comes. You know, we've seen in the past how people have, you know, in World War II, how certain people in Germany had risked their lives to protect, you know, the Jews or the children of the Jews. But, you know, this time around, I don't think it's going to happen, you know, because by the time all this is said and done, once again, they would have taken all our arms. They would have taken all our ammunition. We are going to be left with anything if we don't wake up and if we don't stop this in its tracks. The people have the power. When they wrote the Constitution, it was a government for the people, by the people.
But the Constitution was only for a moral and religious people.
Religious people, right, exactly. But like we said in the very beginning, this was founded as one nation under God, you know. So God was above the nation, and then the nation itself worshiped God. Without God in the midst, you have nothing. It's God that holds everything together in its place, you know. Without God, everything would be all over the place. You know, Genesis 1:2, right? The earth was formless and void. Mm-hmm. You know, there was chaos. And then God spoke everything into order. You know, he set the waters into one place. He brought forth the dry land. He put a boundary around the waters so that the waters wouldn't transgress. Proverbs chapter 8. You know, but you know, we're slowly heading into this. They're not going to rush it because it would be a shock to our systems. You know, from night to day that they implement this system. They have to do it in sections, in little spurts, so that this way we become accustomed to the changes. And that's, you know, where we really have to keep our eyes open, because, you know, the more this happens, the more numb we become.
Yeah, the more numb we become, because look at what they're doing here. And that's why we're doing this show, is because they've put this new disinformation bill. And, you know, I don't want the government, you know, saying if I'm right or wrong, you know, because the government doesn't know any truth. The government, you know, how do you know a politician is lying? He's moving his lips. Okay. And that's, it's a funny, but it's true, because there are a God-fearing government representative is, there are very, very, very few. So what we're looking at here, and you need to see this with this disinformation bill in Australia. And let me bring up the next article, because there's another part to this. Okay. Let me just see if this is here first. Okay. We see this here in the Digital Service Act, the DSA, that it came online this August. Okay. So it's now August 2nd on the secular calendar. Now we have this Digital Service Act in Europe. Okay, now it started, and this was done pretty quietly. It started with the World Health Organization pandemic treaty that most countries signed on to. That if there's a pandemic and they're going to fake another pandemic, okay, this one might be a little bit more, where there's going to be more people dying, but let's just stick with this subject for tonight. Okay, so the pandemic treaty. So if you're putting out that there is no COVID, which there isn't, you're going to be shut down. Okay, you're going to have a hard time finding this show, because they're going to shut you out of the internet. Now, Brighteon, Mike Adams has come up with a new way to get around the security of the internet. And I'll get some more information about that maybe next week, because he just put it out where you're going to be able to do peer-to-peer stuff, okay? But what we're talking about here in this show is the pandemic treaty, which leads to the Digital Service Act, which will put the framework of intense control of online speech. So shows like the Sledgehammer Show that we're doing right now, InfoWars, Stu Peters, The Blaze, maybe not so much, you know, Ben Shapiro, but even him, they're going to shut him out also, because he's wearing a kippah, and that represents a Jew, and we don't want any religion, okay? And he mentions, you know, the Torah a little bit, okay? So what we're having here, Europe, you know, in Europe right now, it started this, you know, 2 days ago. They lost the ability to even complain about current events online. You know, this is something that's really intense for all of us to really understand, that, you know, this is clamping down. This is shutting people out. This is, they're getting control. And, you know, the internet has become a vast part of our lives. It really has become a very big part of most people's lives. They They bank with it. They pay bills with it. You know, not too many people carry cash any longer. They carry a debit card or whatever. And now, Ben, you know, you got this Disinformation Act, you know, and you were talking about the credit score, okay? So those of us who, you know, like myself, that, you know, I bring the truth of the Word of God, and I don't care what the world thinks. My social credit score will be so low, you know, I'm not going to be able to, it's going to become a problem. But you have to ask yourself this: do you want to serve God? Okay. Will you take the mark of the beast? Well, I don't believe in that. Well, okay. Well, you're going to need this mark with this Digital Service Act to get online. So, you know, this started 2 days ago, Ben. Isn't this amazing that Yeshua, our Messiah, predicted this 2,000 years ago?
Well, you know, our God knows the end from the beginning, so it doesn't come as any surprise that this was spoken about by our Messiah. It wasn't only spoken by him, it was also spoken to the nation of Israel through the prophets. You know, it's all scattered all throughout, you know, the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah. Nothing that like I've said numerous times, you've said it yourself, nothing should really come as a surprise to any of us, you know, because it's all been written down, you know, for us to read, to meditate on, and to follow, and to live out, you know. The Word of God tells us how everything ends, you know. So those of us who are following the Messiah, who are keeping his commandments, who are living out his word, really have nothing to fear, you know. Even though the most climactic and horrific dangers arise around us, you know, it would kind of resemble when Moses took his staff as he was ordered and split the Reed Sea, and the walls of water that rose up on either side of Israel as they were crossing on dry land must have been, you know, it must have increased their faith, because I'm pretty sure they kept wondering when these walls were going to come down. And they didn't come down until the very last Israelite stepped on dry ground. That's the God that we serve. You know, that's the God that keeps us, you know, under his wings. He's the one that protects us, and he's the one that we're supposed to trust in. So when all these things are happening, he said, look up, because your redemption draws near. That's what we have to do, instead of worrying, oh my gosh, this is happening, how are we going to get through this, how are we going to... No, look up, because your redemption draws near.
Okay, so let's put that subject away for this time period now, and let's move on to another subject, because we've got a couple of subjects more we want to, you know, get to you, so that you'll be informed, so that you can inform others. And once again, spread the link about this show. We're broadcasting on Rumble right now. We're on yeshuatube.org. Like us, subscribe to our page, and support the ministry. Okay, so in the prophet Yeshayahu, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who change darkness into light and light into darkness, who change bitter into sweet and sweet into bitter. What this is talking about, everybody, is that everything good is going to be called evil, and everything evil is going to be called good. And that's really the time that we are truly living in. So let's go to this story here, because this is another powerful story. One in six Democrats believes violence is justified to restore abortion. One in six, so that's almost, you know, almost 20%. It's like 16% of Democrats believe violence is justified to restore abortion. You know, it's a funny movie called Yellowbeard. And Yellowbeard says, I'll kill anybody who gets in my way of me killing anybody. So we have this. One in every six Democrats believe that force is justified to restore abortion rights. A new poll has found underscoring the secular left's growing support for political violence. A number of Democrats backing abortion-related terrorism has doubled from 8% to 16% since January, a period when multiple states have enacted pro-life protections. In all, 31 million Americans support the use of violence to reinstate abortion in U.S. law, up from 22 million just 3 months ago. So the number has gone up from 22 million to 31 million are saying that it is justified for you to commit a crime. It is justified to commit a crime to get your right, to push your right to murder an innocent little baby, a baby that can't defend themselves, to rip its arms from its body, to rip its legs, to rip its head off, to cause massive pain before that child dies. Now you want to, you know, use violence. Okay, so what if we were to say, okay, well, if you're doing that, we're going to invoke the laws of God, and we're going to start stoning people to death. Okay, if you commit adultery, we're going to stone you to death. Okay, we should go back to that. We should go back to all the laws of God. Okay, and if you murder a baby, and we have two witnesses, we should stone you to death. Or there's another law where it says that we should burn you alive at the stake, okay, or hang you from a cross facing the sun. Okay, so if you're going to do this, okay, once the war starts, this is what these brown shirts don't understand, Ben. These brown shirts don't understand that you guys are going to be thrown away like trash. That the powers that be are using you to get their point across. Okay, so if you want to have abortion rights, well, you know, use the pill. Use a prophylactic. Use other parts of your body. Okay? There's ways of not getting pregnant unless you're trying to get pregnant to offer this baby up to Moloch. To offer this baby up as a sin offering. You know, you want to perform this sin. You want to give this baby to these people. Okay? But to say, you know, 31 million people wanting to commit violence because they can't get an abortion. Okay. This is where our society, where as a society in the world, this is not just America. We're just more vocal about it. And we have freedom of the internet at the moment. It's going away. But, you know, what do you think it has been where 31 million people say they commit violence against us? I mean, we can't even pray outside of an abortion clinic. You know, if you don't believe in prayer, you want to murder that baby, what do you care about prayer? What do you think, Ben?
Well, I mean, you know, the gates of hell have opened up. You know, for those who saw Little Nicky, where they were telling, the dog was telling him, release the evil. That's exactly what has happened. The evil has been released, and darkness is trying to extinguish the light. And not that it's going to succeed, but it's succeeding. And why is it succeeding? Like I had mentioned in one of the earlier Sledgehammer shows, you know, Keith Green was an amazing musician, and to me he was an amazing missionary. He touched many lives, and his music was so profound that I learned a lot of the Bible through his music. I was able to visualize certain, you know, parables, like the parable of the prodigal son, you know, in his song, The Prodigal Son. It's just amazing. If you close your eyes and you listen to it, you can actually see everything that Yeshua spoke about the prodigal son. So he has a song, and I forget the title of it, but in the song he says, the world is sleeping in the dark and the church just can't fight because it's asleep in the light. You know, we need to wake up. We need to wake up. We need to fight against the forces of hell, which are running rampant right now because we've dropped the ball. We've dropped the sword and we've dropped our shield. You know, just like the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Yeshua said, can't you watch and pray an hour with me? You know, but they were asleep. Then he told them, go on and sleep, for the time has come for the Son of Man to be handed over, you know? And this is where we're at. This is where we're at as the body of Messiah. We're asleep. We need to wake up because the time is going to come when the bridegroom is going to show up and only the five wise virgins are going to make it, you know? And the rest of us are going to be left behind. But we have to do something, and we have to come together, regardless of your political stands, your political beliefs. We have to come together for the sake of humanity, and not just for the sake of America, but for the sake of the world.
Yeah, we need to really come together with that. But there are curses and there are blessings in the Bible. And there's one curse that we're going to look at to wrap up this Sledgehammer show, this last topic. It says in Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy 28, verse 43, the foreigner living with you will rise higher and higher while you sink lower and lower. Well, the foreigners are really an immense amount of people since the Democrats took office in the presidency and their illegal takeover of the presidency. Total illegals into U.S. under Biden is more than population of 35 states. That's a tremendous amount of people that have come over our border that are being spread all over the nation. And it's not just Latinos. There's people from all over the world coming over our border by the millions. FAIR.org estimated that 5.5 million illegal aliens had entered the United States by crossing over the open border with Mexico since Joe Biden entered office. The number has reached 7 million today, nearly 1 year later. So we're having a tremendous amount of people. Now, they're not coming, you know, over as healthy people. They're not showering every day. They're not showering maybe even every week. And what they're bringing is diseases. They're bringing lice and fleas, okay, because they're sleeping on the ground. They're not sleeping, you know, in hotels until they get here. But they're coming with a lot of junk. And they're coming with real bad diseases, you know, that's going to be coming our way, so that we're going to have a real pandemic in the near future, because they're bringing in here, they're bringing typhoid, they're bringing all sorts of diseases. So, you know, look at that. Total legal into U.S. is more than 35 states, okay? There's a lot of states that are sparsely populated, okay? And they're bringing these people to those states. They're bringing, you know, New York City is, you know, a $400 million contract they gave out, a no-bid contract. That, you know, this is, we're being taken apart, but let me just bring up the prophecy, because that's what you really need to understand, that God said that if you don't want to follow me, and that's why we started off with the story about the cross. The cross is being taken down because you're not honoring the man who was on the cross, the Messiah, Yeshua. So now he's bringing all these foreigners to our nation. All, you know, the foreigners from China to Pakistan to Afghanistan. You know, Pakistan and Afghanistan don't touch South America or Central America. How are they getting there in these massive numbers? Okay, so now, Ben, this is an amazing number of people. What do you think about the illegal aliens coming over you? What's your last couple of shekels?
Well, I believe that they're doing this and allowing it so that it can cripple the system, because, I mean, there's just too many aliens, illegal aliens, because they're coming in through the open border. For DHS to process, it would take, you know, a ridiculous number of man hours and processing them day and night, you know, nonstop. But you know, we want to be the humanitarians, but yet, you know, we sit back and we complain that, you know, there's no job for American people. But yet, you know, when we look, the jobs that are being taken by these illegal aliens are those very jobs that the American public doesn't want to touch. You know, they don't want to pick cotton. They don't want to pick oranges, strawberries, asparagus. They don't want to do any of this. So these people are shipped over in busloads. You know, they're transported over in busloads and truckloads so that they can do this work. But you know, the present administration is bringing them in and dispersing them strategically in every state. You know, when DeSantis started shipping these people and dumping them on their porch, they started complaining. But you know, everybody's like, oh, that's so cruel. DeSantis is this, DeSantis is that. DeSantis is protecting the rights of the people who are in Florida who are legal. You know, he's protecting the rights of the American citizen. You know, and that's what every governor should do. But like in New York, they're paying hotels to keep these illegal aliens. But yet you have children who are in the system who are starving every night, who are lacking medical attention, and they don't care about them. You know, but yet I hear all the time screaming, oh, you know, get rid of all the Republicans, ban Trump, you know, get rid of Trump. But what about the Democrats? You know, this isn't just a one-sided problem. This is both sides. You know, and I have to point out, you know, the rhinos, because they're just Republican for the vote. You know, when it comes down to voting for the things that matter, like abortion, you know, for protecting our borders, you know, for supporting our military and education. I don't see them voting for that. I see them voting against it. You know, so why should we stand for that? But this is the price that we pay for getting back to the very beginning of the show, for getting rid of God out of our society.
Once you get rid of God in your society, then everything else falls apart. Because if you don't have a standard, if you don't have that cornerstone, nothing you can do will match that cornerstone. And that's what we really need to understand, is that we need the cornerstone. That's our Messiah, Yeshua. When we remove him and the cross that represents what he did for us, then that sign is taken down and it will be replaced with a different sign, a sign that you won't like. So because we remove God from our society, God is allowing millions and millions to come in who don't believe in him, who don't follow him. Now, is this an opportunity to share? Yes, it is. So we're being brought these people, but we're also being brought a lot of diseases, and it's breaking the bank, okay? So there will be a pandemic that's coming, and this one will be real, but it's manufactured because we are not following God. But I hope you enjoyed this Sledgehammer Show. Until next week, Shalom Aleichem.
Shalom. This is Messianic Rabbi Andrew Dinnerman. I would personally like to thank you for tuning in to The Remnant's Call each and every week. You can listen to the full message on our website, bethgoyim.org. If you have drawn closer to the King of Kings, learned more about him today, we are blessed. If you are blessed by these messages, please consider a donation to our ministry. You can go to our website, bethgoyim.org. That's bethgoyim.org, and click on the donate button. You do not have to have a PayPal account to donate. All you need is a debit card. Once again, thank you very much for listening to The Remnant's Call.
If you have not taken your first steps to be born again, just ask God's help. Remember, it's His loving grace that has come to find you. No one is worthy or able to reach God, but God can reach us, and He's reaching out to you now. Just open your heart and let Him in. His arms are open, and the blessing of salvation and eternal life are waiting for you. Don't let it wait any longer.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face and shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and give you his shalom.
Shalom. My name is Messianic Rabbi Andrew Dinnerman, and I invite you to come to visit our congregation. If you are in the tri-state area, come out and visit with us on Shabbat. We are a congregation of Jews and Gentiles living as one in the Messiah Yeshua. BGMC is a place of true worship. The focus never wanders from the Hebraic roots of our faith. Beth Goyim is rooted in the Word of God from Bereshit through to the Book of Revelation. Messiah's strong words against man-made tradition are carefully recorded in Matthew 7. That is the reason we only follow the straight-up instructions found in Scripture, truly the way, the truth, and the life. If you're looking for a deeper walk with Adonai, come out for our Tuesday evening Bible study called Messianic Torah Time. Come, spend a day with us on any Shabbat. We start at 11 a.m. with the sound of the ancient Hebrew shofar. Next, we offer our King praise and worship in English, Hebrew, and Spanish. After worship, we review the headlines in the previous week's news from around the globe, especially news from the Holy Land Israel. We don't just list the news headlines as current events, but we comb through the scriptures searching for clues to understand what they mean and then to help pinpoint prophetically our current position on Adonai's clock. After digesting all that modern information, we leave the world behind as we journey with our Adonai deep into his eternal word, not with just one or two scriptures, but usually seven or more scriptures. The spiritual nourishment and the richness of his kingdom become accessible to the ones who share this special time and seek them out. The day does not end there. Because Shabbat is so special to him, there is always so much more that our King desires to share. So instead of separating and leaving, we stay together as a family for potluck lunch and an afternoon study of our King's Word. We close the Shabbat together with the reading of the new week's parashah. That's the Torah portion. Even after those blessings, many of us just can't get enough. So the members bring prepared homemade foods to share while we all enjoy an uplifting movie together. If all that information is not quite enough, you can check out our website where you will find over 200 video teachings and biblical holy day studies. Under Messianic Torah Time, the Hebrew Roots button, you'll discover free studies on many, many different topics, including PowerPoint slide presentations. If Beth Goyim sounds like a place you'd love to visit, but you live outside the tri-state area, there is still a way to connect with us. We stream live on the internet on Tuesday, Thursday, and Shabbat. The website is www.bethgoyim.org. That's BETHGOYIM.org. Our phone number is 973-338-7800 or 978-2-YESHUA. That's 978, the number 2, Yeshua. Shalom.